Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John has a power trip as a camp counselor but gets humbled by the Lord of the Landfill. Meanwhile, I lick windowsills and ponder my questionable clothing choices in the 90s. Plus a conversation about the difference between talent and genius. Today's episode is not sponsored by Pickleball. Hope you've already met your insurance deductible this year. But first, a word from our actual sponsor.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Johnny, we're back. It's another January edition of Talk About That.
It's a time of new beginnings, John.
It is.
You know what it's really a time of is, this is the most important, like the trash day after Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most important trash day. You want to make sure everything's out by the curb. You don't want to forget. And sometimes they have the holiday schedules. It's very important.
I noticed today when I went to lunch and I walked past your car.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. So I'm in a little bit of a conundrum because what happened was I would give myself time. I loaded up. I mean, I've got so many boxes.
It's a lot of boxes.
In my garage. So I was like, I'm cleaning this up because I had to get to some old paint to try to touch up paint in my house. I've been off the road. So I'm like, I'm doing some of these projects around the house.
Wow, what a guy.
So you go find your old touch up paint. The touch up paint is 7 years old. In my garage. Mm. So now I'm trying to
get a little bit
stuff, yeah. And it's gross. And I'm like, this isn't going to work. So then I go buy, but I had to get to the paint and I couldn't get to because all these boxes. So I'm like, I'm breaking. So I took a knife. I'm breaking down all these boxes and now I have like stacks of cardboard. So now, and of course the dump's closed because it's holiday. So I'm like, so I have to wait. So today was my day. I'm like, I'm going to load up these boxes. I couldn't wait. You can't wait to get that feeling of like, they're not in my house anymore.
It's amazing.
It's a great feeling. So I load up my dumb hatchback to the roof with stacked cardboard. And then I go to the dump. Everyone is at the dump today because it's January 2. When we're recording this is January 2. And there's just a line around the block to finally get rid of. Because you're reassessing things. Uh-huh. And you have your Christmas trash.
Yeah.
But this wasn't just the regular, it was a recycling place. So they're all going like, Everybody had the same idea as me of like, this is way too much cardboard in this house.
Did you see the back of my truck?
No. Were you there?
No, but when you walk past my truck, like it's filled with. So I actually, you don't look like you broke your boxes down to me.
I broke most of them down. And then there's a bunch of unbroken down ones on top.
See, I broke them actually down.
I break them all, the big ones down, but those little like tray ones, I didn't break down. Mm. I think you're having a breakdown. No, but what it is like. I do the best I can to prepare them for further compaction. I want to be I'm a rule follower.
Do you, when you get there and they say only broken down boxes, but people throw full boxes in there all the time.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I'm like, it is a compactor. Like
it is a compactor.
Isn't it just going to go ahead and break it down for us?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and break this down for me?
I'm going to break this down for you.
Yeah. There's the guy that's at the dump that just sits in a chair and he's like the lord of the dump. Don't you feel a little bit when you're driving through?
Oh, super judged.
I always feel like, should I stop and say, I got an old couch back here? Like you feel like you have to call out.
Yeah, you have to like, was it okay with you if I? Yeah.
I got paint and battery acid. Is this cool?
It's a lot of power.
It is a lot of power.
He gets to tell you
what. He can be like, we don't take that.
Right. I just saw him. I like him.
Yeah, it's his domain.
Yeah.
The trash guy, he's very powerful.
I had a
friend. What do you do with old paint? Who takes paint?
I don't know. I saw a thing.
You just have to, you shouldn't have bought that paint. Like, you just have to live with your choices. You just have to live with your choices.
I did see a thing, a sign. They had like some workshop at the dump. It was like, come, and they were going to talk to you about caustic materials or whatever.
Oh,
but
wow.
But it said no old paint accepted. Like, they're like, we'll take anything. We'll take acid.
I'd have to have a lot
just
of,
not paint.
I'd have to have a lot of time to kill before I'd be like, you know what I want to do is go to a workshop
on
at the dump and learn.
I mean, I thought.
Teach me about garbage.
I wish I knew what they were going to say, because I do have things to get rid of sometimes.
Yeah.
I think you could take it to the big landfill,
mm-hmm.
and they have like places there.
There's places that recycle it. Do you don't recycle? What do you do with the paint? It's got to end up somewhere.
I don't know, Johnny. I think we could bring a painter on.
I just, it's going to end up in the water supply. Let's just be honest with it. We're drinking paint.
Well, we probably are. That's why I have that water filtration system now, just for moments like this. Though, because
you know, there's a theory that I've seen online more than once, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, but this one was from a guy who's a chemistry guy, and he said this generation, like our generation, Generation X, and the one before, he goes, there's so many personality disorders that he thinks are going to be eventually attributed to leaded paint.
Wow,
like our exposure to leaded paint.
Wow.
Is going to be attributed to like child defiance disorder and things like that that we grew up. And it was like, is this the first time we've seen this? And then you go, no, it's just now being categorized. Even ADD, he has all these theories, and I don't know if I believe it. I'm just saying, like, it is true that we had these toxic materials in paint that we were just like, kids are licking paint.
Why?
You know, on the windowsill. You don't lick the...
Johnny, what did you do?
How did you treat paint? That sounds.
I just licked the window.
I'm just chugging paint.
It was childhood. That's what we did. That's it. I was just
like asbestos, and like we had leaded paint, and
more like asbestos.
I know, right?
Come on now.
I tried as best as I could to get it out of my system, and couldn't. Jeez, that's not why people tune in. They don't tune in for these.
They might.
Horrible puns. I apologize, dude.
I like puns. I don't like. The bad rap.
The judgment.
That people get for puns. I like a good...
I will say that I have one-liners in my show that I've had for years, and now this is the age of calling everything that's a one-liner or a wordplay joke or a dad joke.
Right.
Like diminishing someone's joke as a dad joke, it's like a way to like demean it.
Yes.
And I don't agree with that, because there are jokes that are dad jokes, but I don't feel like... Maybe I'm just being defensive. I apologize.
Well, that was quick.
Maybe I do have some dads. I don't know.
You're very quick to repent.
I just don't know a lot of dads who are as funny as me. I don't think it's a fair characterization to be like, well, that's a joke my dad would tell. No, it's not. I've been doing this a long time.
Right.
Your dad sucks.
Again, take away from all this.
Again, I'm lashing out. This feels like
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry my kids had to see me
no,
that way.
No offense.
I don't have kids.
Your dad sucks. That's great.
I mean, as a comedian, not as a person.
No, yeah, I'm sure.
I've seen your dad's act, and it's awful. He needs a lot of work.
You do have those kids that talk about that. They all have that dad. I wonder if I am that dad in the circles. Like, I am the kind of dad, like, we'll carpool with volleyball players, you know? We have, like, 45 minutes in the car.
Uh-huh.
And I am the dad that usually will talk to everybody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're trying to make things... You're an accommodator. You're trying to make things less awkward.
Maybe.
So you're trying to be like, hey, what's going on?
Hey, what are
you
doing?
I like that backpack.
Hey, she was just like that.
Pete Holmes is a comedian, and he always talks about how he has a very youth pastor energy, and he looks like a fun dad.
Uh-huh.
He goes, I look like the fun dad or your youth pastor. I look like the fun dad at the cookout. And he starts acting like the fun dad. He goes, I've got the apron that says kiss the cook. And I'm like, if you like him, then you put some cheese on it. If you like him, then you should have put some cheese on it. Hey, fun dad. That's him. And I think you've got a little fun dad energy.
You think so?
Yeah.
See, I'm a introvert, though.
Uh-huh.
But I have that side.
Well, I think I want people to feel comfort. So if things are awkward, like here's an example is somebody comes to my table at the end of the show and they're trying to tell me they enjoyed the show, or they're trying to tell me a story. Well, that's just like my story of my crazy whatever. And I'm being accommodating, but I don't immediately go like, I try to accommodate them because I don't want them to feel weird. And I think there's something in that. That's one of the reasons I do comedy. I'm trying to make everybody like me and be happy.
That's a very nine thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I mean, I don't think it's like my, it doesn't take up my whole, I mean, I want that for an hour a day and then I want you to get away from me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I do feel like I try to accommodate people.
When you knew me as the youth pastor for those 15 years, would you, like, do you think I'm a different person now? Because I had
We evolved together, though. I evolved with you, though. So it's hard to know. It's like a marriage, you know. We've been knowing each other long enough that it's like, yeah, we're both different people.
You and I would run, and this is what's crazy. I'm not a big game guy. But we would go to camps, and we would bring, you know, 80 kids to camp. Right. And it was a camp of 300, 350 kids, and they would ask the leaders to take different positions to run the camp. And you and I would be the program director.
Volunteer positions,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, of course, yeah. While you're still youth pastor.
But you get
kids.
A golf cart, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a lot of power in that golf. You're like the guy at the dump.
Yeah, you are.
You are. You get to be like, no paint!
Quit licking that window sill.
Exactly.
And but we would run the games. And that's not really... But we would do really well at it.
No, we would go all out. And it is fun because you award points randomly and, and you know, completely arbitrarily. And you
oh,
know.
It's just makeup stuff.
I've decided the red team is the victor.
Remember they used to make it when we were kids that make you do wrath appeasers.
Oh, no, I don't remember wrath appeasers. What is that?
A wrath appeaser is you get down on your face. Like the guy up in the tower with the bullhorn, which became us. He's like, you know what? You know it's hot out here, and I don't like the way the red team's attitude's been today. But if they would do, you know,
they could appease my wrath.
They could do wrath appeasers for I don't know about, you know, we'll see how many you can
what
do.
What is a wrath appeaser?
Get on your face in the dirt,
okay,
and you take your fists to the ground and your legs, and you say mercy, mercy, mercy.
Wow!
And so you, would,
John, this is like some kid's telling this story to a therapist right now.
And, then
like,
go,
and then they told me.
And then he'd go, all right, 50,000 points of the red team. You know, I like it so much. 100,000 points. And, you know, give it 1,000,000 points, and then we just start making up millions of points.
Wow.
We did that for a long time.
I think you've participated in abuse. You're like, you know, wrath appeasers like you do.
I don't remember if I ever had kids do it. I just remember being a kid doing it.
Oh, okay.
But we had some good times. But you know what else is a good time, Johnny?
What's that? You can appease our wrath now.
We're going to hear a word from a few of our sponsors. We used to make funny videos for camp, too.
We did. Like you say, what is your... Yeah, you change, you evolve, and but I'm changing too, and then we've stayed friends, so like a lot of our views at least line up, at least the way we see the world lines up enough to where we can stay friends. Because everybody has friends that you grow apart from, but part of that's because your view of the world just totally gets...
Right, our view
it diverges.
Our view of the world evolved at the same time, too.
Yeah, and so we can agree on things and probably shape each other's view of the world, too, if we're honest. We're, you know.
I tell you what to think, and then you.
Right. And if I say no, you make me do wrath appeasers. Jeez Louise. It sounds like a candy. Wrath appeasers.
This is delicious.
From Welch's or whatever.
You get through the candy, and inside of the middle is lead paint.
Yeah. But it is like a marriage, like, you know, like. That's the thing, our friendship, it's like you evolve, just like if you're married to somebody, you go, they've changed. Yeah, you change too.
Right.
But speaking of that, so it's your birthday week, or it's just passed, and we didn't get to be around each other during the holidays.
Yeah.
And then I was like, hey, I'm going to buy you lunch today. Let's go somewhere. Not the normal. We normally go to Longhorn, and you get the same thing every time.
That's not true. I have two things.
It's a little bit dumb. And I go, listen, we don't have to go Longhorn today. I'm buying your lunch day birthday boy anywhere you want to go. And you text me back, melting pot. And I go, I really hope he's kidding because this is really uncomfortable. Like two dudes.
It was supposed to be
two dudes at melting pot.
And I just left it. I was
you
in
did.
A staff meeting.
You were just like, melting pot. Fine. I call your bluff.
I did call
Let's
your
go
bluff.
Downtown Nashville.
Let's eat fondue in this little table together.
Let's look right into each other's eyes.
Like, right, yeah.
And unironically dip meat
right,
into a cauldron.
Right, yeah.
And wait for them to look into each other's eyes while they cook.
I think it made you uncomfortable. You were just like...
No, I was just like...
I don't think I'm going to do that. I was like, surely you think I was serious.
No, I knew you were kidding. I just said, well, I was thinking somewhere closer to... I said, how romantic is what I said. How romantic. I said, I was thinking of somewhere closer to home.
Yeah.
But,
and then we ended up going to Longhorn.
We went to Longhorn, and you got the same thing.
The deal is, I've eaten so much. Like, it's not like it's fine. You know what?
This is like one of those dead marriages you hear about, John, and it makes me sick.
You take me to the same place every week. No, it was good. I'm beginning the slow.
Well, I knew that you were like because you do the whole thing where you eat like crap over the holidays. And then, so if I get you on January 2, I know you're going to be like, well, I'm back on the wagon now. I want the fun John. I never get fun John.
That's what I'm saying. Was I fun John in the old days, like with the kids?
No, I'm saying, like, I don't get you that week of Christmas because we're not around each other. You're with your dumb family.
You had your dumb show.
I don't get cheesecake John.
No.
I had so much cheesecake. I got to eat some grilled chicken today. And it was I don't want grilled chicken John.
It's not because, by the way, yes, I've gained some weight.
Yeah.
But that's not really the issue. I don't feel good. Like, I've eaten so much now. I'm like, oh. Like, I'm just like.
I know.
I'm done with it. I had the food. And what an amazing, and I heard someone say, it was on Delectio last week. He was like, hey, instead of shaming yourself,
right?
Why don't you like take a moment and be grateful for all the like feasting and the gifts and all the things.
Sure.
Instead of just thinking of the ways in the new year that you should now do things all differently.
Uh-huh.
Take a moment and be grateful. Like, well, that was fun. And I think it was.
Fun.
And it was, you know, maybe more fun because you weren't with me on it.
Huh.
Wait a second.
That's interesting.
No, in the last year, we went out for my birthday,
right,
and we got to feast together.
I thought we were going to do that again.
I thought we were, too.
When are we going to?
You know why we didn't?
Why?
My wife's stomach virus.
Oh, she got sick.
She was like, a couple days before, she's like, I'm sorry, I haven't even.
But we can still do it. Like, no. We'll just go another. You think it's Pat? We got to wait till next year?
No, now it's. Well, actually, I would love to go out, but then you're going to go on a fancy cruise next week.
I am.
To do comedy.
Saturday, I'm leaving.
And then which one is this?
This is the Zach Williams cruise. It goes, it's going to Costa Rica and it's going to Puerto Rico.
Wow.
They said there's two time changes at sea.
Wow.
So it's like we're going parts unknown.
Yeah. You're going to leave when it's daylight.
Here's the thing, too. They tell you that. They go, hey, make sure you've got your right time that you know that your phone is going to, because you're going to be, because I have all the call sheets, because I'm working on the boat. So I'm like, I'm going to be in some weird, we just crossed the international date line, and I miss my show by an hour or 12. I don't know how the international date line works, Joe.
Maybe just show up an hour early everywhere.
To the buffet, I will. Hey, now.
See, that's the thing.
The thing about a cruise that's tricky, though, is you, like if I had bombed at Zany's, it would have been awkward because I had some friends and family there. So that puts a lot of pressure on you. I'd much rather, like, I did a show on New Year's Eve, and I was in Hillsboro, Ohio. Okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know these people. Some of them are, like, fans of mine from the internet or whatever. But it's like, if I let them down, it's not enough people in that room to start a rumor. Nobody cares.
Right.
But at Zany's, it's like, ugh, the pressure's ramped up. On a boat.
You're stuck with these people.
It's like, if you bomb on Tuesday, I got to see you on Thursday and Wednesday.
Right.
And you're standing next to them getting your soft serve.
Right.
And they're like, whew.
Johnny,
that was rough.
That's a bad comedian on the Lido deck.
Yeah.
So there's that bad comedian again.
Yeah. They say it out loud. They don't even keep it to themselves, which is hurtful. So that's one thing I'm a little bit pensive about. I don't do a ton of boats, and you always hear about that from people who do cruises. They're like, yeah, it's great when it's great, and when it's not, you're just like, you want to hang out in your room a lot.
You know what I want to do in a boat?
What's that?
Just one time. I want to have a week where I play in the piano bar.
I could see you doing that.
I think that'd be fun.
Do you think you could be the kind of person that like tinkles while you talk over it? Are you comfortable enough
to do that?
Yeah.
I'd have to learn I'm a decent piano player, but I'm way out of practice.
Yeah.
I'd have to learn I've got these 50 songs now.
Oh, wow.
That
you
I
need
play
a,
front and back.
Well, that's true because you're going to get requests.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of the requests. You're going to get Piano Man Billy Joel.
Yeah.
You're going to get, what's the Celine Dion one? My Heart Will Go On, because they're on a boat. They're going to want to hear, I don't know why they want to hear the Titanic song, but they do.
That's a bad,
it is, but they're going to want to hear it.
Right.
Near, far, wherever you are.
And I don't read music, so that's the thing. I couldn't just bring the sheet music out and do it. It has to be committed to memory.
Right.
I mean, I can tell when the notes go up and down. It's not that.
You understand that notes exist.
Right. I can see them on the page and I know, this melody's moving here, but to know the intricacies of the chords, per se.
What are the other songs? What other songs do you think you have to learn? What do you think are the staples?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to go.
Garth Brooks, The Dance.
Oh, I could play that right now.
Garth Brooks, man.
That was a high school.
Looking back.
Yeah, man. Which is funny. We're singing that as kids. It's like, we had really nothing to look back on.
What are you looking back on?
Like another, it took me, what was the name of the band? It wasn't Diamond Rio.
Oh, the Live Like You Were Dying?
Was it Little Texas?
Oh.
They had a song called, Wait For It.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because
was it called Wait For It? That actually would be
a
good,
like a good country song.
A good country song.
It was called What Might Have Been.
Okay.
Remember that song?
Yeah.
And I remember being all romantically heartbroken and stuff with girlfriends.
Because it all feels huge.
Yeah.
You can't know when you're a kid that, like, this is...
So I'm like 15.
What might have been.
And that's our song is what might have been.
Man.
Now, and I'm like...
Well, it's a lot.
Really, a lot hasn't happened, really.
Yeah.
It still may be. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that doesn't sell.
I was an intense kid, too, man. I was an intense kid. I was too much for a lot of people, I'm sure.
I would have loved to have known you as a kid.
Maybe I'm... Again, you're projecting what you think you were. So maybe I was... But I feel like I was pretty awkward. Like when I see, an awkward kid, like whenever I was a youth leader for your youth group, I was like, I always gravitated towards like somebody who's a little bit of a, you know, off kilter kid. Or they're a little bit funny too, you know, is great. There are just painfully uncool kids. And I think I was painfully uncool in some ways for sure. I just didn't know what I didn't know. I had a vest phase where I wore vests over t-shirts.
Oh. Well, everybody did that.
And I just thought, but this one was like purple and sparkly, and it wasn't. Mm-mm. It shouldn't have. There shouldn't be sparkles.
It had tassels?
I had a fringe leather coat, I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah. There was a lot of androgynous clothing choices.
But that was kind of the...
Maybe I just wanted... It was the 90s. It was different. Or 80, late 80s. I just wanted to have some pizzazz. And now I just want to dress the most, blend in with everybody. Yeah. And I want my personality to have pizzazz, I guess. I want to have pizzazz 1 hour a day. And then I want to retreat back into my black t-shirt and blue jeans.
Right. I'd prefer that you didn't notice what I was wearing at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if somebody ever said to me, you should wear this on stage, and it was a jacket with fringe, I'd be like, are you crazy? Right. Everybody's going to think I'm weird. But for whatever reason.
And then you're going to get up there and tell jokes and make them think you're even weirder.
Yeah. For whatever reason, when I was 17, I was like, I want that fringe leather jacket.
You wanted to stand out for something. Oh, my goodness.
I wanted that Surrey with a fringe on top.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know what, Johnny?
Yeah.
It's that time.
What? It's time for the quote of the week.
It's time for the quote of the week in a little segment that we like to call They Talked About That.
Oh. This is... I can't believe this is royalty free.
It
feels like you're going to pull like a leather-bound book from the shelf and begin a random reading.
It's like I feel like I want to go to the Hall of Presidents at Disney. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, yeah. Today comes from George C. Lichtenberg. And,
okay.
It says, and this is another good New Year's quote, everyone is a genius at least once a year. The real geniuses simply have their bright ideas closer together.
Okay.
That's just interesting idea of... You see someone and you assume, but probably everybody at some point in their life, maybe once a year.
Yeah.
I feel like that guy sometimes. Like I have this great idea, but I can't string it together with something else.
Yeah.
So that it could actually become, although this does bug me, by the way, I was about to say so I could become genius.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a real pet peeve of mine. Genius is a noun.
Right. Become a genius.
A genius or have an idea that's ingenious. But to say an idea is genius is to call it a noun instead of an adjective, and I'm very offended.
If you string too many great ideas together, you're an evil genius.
Well, there you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's...
I think the creative process really is for me, and I was talking to our friend Caleb. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't think of myself as one of the real creatives. I really don't. I think of myself as, like, I just do a lot for a long time.
Yeah.
And at some point, I think... wear it down.
Like a craftsman.
Yeah, almost like, like I'm crafting, uh-huh. I don't know. Almost like I'm in the factory just rubber stamping, you know, I'm just kind of...
No, you're not stamping, but you're kind of putting things on the lathe until it looks like a certain thing. You have skill, but you're also like going to work your way to until the art is done. That's more of a craftsman. Whereas somebody else's is like, like, what about a computer that fits in your pocket? And they're like, well, that guy is a genius. Well, somebody had to go craft that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I will say that there are a lot of times you've had ideas over the years.
Yeah.
And then I'm still years later doing them. Like you had an idea one time for us to give guitar lessons to kids.
Oh, was that my idea? I remember this.
Yeah. And you'd call it, we'd call it School of Rock.
Yeah. But School of Rock was
correct.
A movie, but yeah.
We did it. You weren't saying that you said it. And then did you say we did it?
No, what?
And then
you did it.
And then I did it.
You did it.
And for like the next 10 years, I gave guitar lessons.
And it's still impacting.
And it was, your idea. And a few times I was sitting there like, where the heck is Johnny?
Right.
This was his idea. So the genius had the idea. Uh-huh. And then whatever it is, I am the minion. Uh-huh. It's just like, yeah, you're the evil genius.
Right.
You're Gru, and I'm one of the minions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like this.
I will say that I want my mind to work better in 2024.
Okay.
I feel... So in 2023, I made some resolutions.
Like mind-based resolutions?
Well, to less distraction.
Okay.
And so one thing I did was I... move social media to my non.
I moved. My family's upset.
Yeah.
But I was like, you guys are distracting me.
You're distracting me. I need to think clearly. But my social media is not on my homepage of my phone.
This is so funny to me.
Or home screen.
You move it one swipe over and you think that makes
sense. It does, because I don't see the bubble.
That's funny.
I don't see the bubble of those notifications.
Okay.
And then I rarely go. Like, I might check Instagram.
So you just become a bad friend is what you've become. You're not responding to these people.
Well, listen, I went on Facebook for my birthday.
Yeah.
There were messages.
Why not just remove your email and your text, too? I don't see the bubbles. I don't know what's going on.
They don't tempt me. But what I did do then is decide I want to be more well-informed on actual sources. And so I have the Apple News subscription.
Okay.
So it's every newspaper.
Not a sponsor.
In the world. And so the downside or the backfire of all this that I didn't realize is I went from probably spending a couple hours a day on social media to reading articles a couple hours a day. So I'm much more well-informed, but I'm still too deep into something. Like, it's still like the obsessive trait of that phone still causes me. So I'm either reading a sports article, or I'm reading a political article, or I'm reading, like, I love the archaeological articles in there and all the stuff, but it's still like too much. And I've set now limits on that, or at least get an alarm on my downtime. I want to do that 30 minutes, but I want to read like actual books more.
Read books more. That's a good goal.
I mean, I think I read more books in 23 than in my life. I really do. I think because I had less writing projects until the end of the year. And so that was good. But I want to be a genius, Johnny.
I think you're a genius. It's okay.
And take it back.
I think you've done some things that were genius. I would consider you're sharp. You're a bright guy.
I don't know. I think I'm...
What is their standard for genius? Okay, here's my favorite quote about being a genius, or the trait of genius, which they're kind of calling it an adjective, which you said it's not. But this
well, quote. It may be now. It's now like in the lexicon.
But it said...
lexicon.
It's a Decepticon.
The dialecticon.
The quote is, I can't remember who said it, but it said, talent hits a target no one else can hit. Genius hits a target no one else can see.
Mm.
So I think sometimes when somebody says something brilliant, it's like they're, like I think about when I hear a great guitar player and they're just very skilled. But then I hear somebody like, I've heard some things that Dane has played, and I was like, I never would have even thought to come up with that.
Right. I never heard anybody try
like
that.
The way he hears melody in his head.
Right.
It's not just like, oh, he really nailed that, but I could see like studying for a year and figuring that out.
Right.
It's like, I don't know how he heard that in his head.
Yeah.
So that to me is what genius is.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah.
You have
well, that's what I was going to say. I don't think you have it. I don't know what I have. I think it's a little bit of both. You have an idea. I do think about, like, when I think of a joke, it still feels like magic to me. And I think that's good and bad. Like, I feel like I have too much respect for the craft of comedy. And it's been detrimental to me. Because I don't just sit down and be like, I'm going to write 15 jokes a day. And I don't care what I have to do. I'm not getting up until I've written 15 jokes. And if 10 of them are garbage, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because I have such reverence for the craft of comedy, and I feel like it still feels like wizardry when it happens to me, it makes me a little bit lazier probably. Because I'm like, well, when it happens, it happens. And you're like, no, sometimes you got to go make it happen.
Yeah.
You got to put yourself on task.
Yeah, so, there's a line there. It's hard.
Yeah.
There were seasons in life where I just, like, I'm going to be a writer no matter what, and I would write. I mean, hundreds of thousands of words, whether blogs or I had a book idea, go write it. A book, I didn't care if anyone ever read it. You know, I'm going to do this. And I think it trained me how to write better.
Right.
Because reps are reps. But, so I don't regret it. But at the same time, that content was not genius. You know what I'm saying?
But usually. Maybe it's like clearing out the system of all the crud. Like, they said that about when I started doing TikTok, they were like, you've got to do, if you're going to do face to camera type content, they go, you're going to do 100 bad ones. So just get them out of the way.
Interesting.
And I was like, I don't want to do 100 bad. I don't like that idea of doing 100 bad things so that you start at zero and now you're good again. Now you're good because you got the 100 bad ones. I was like, I'd rather like sit and think about how I could make my first TikTok good.
Yeah.
And then you look up a week later and you've not posted it, you know, because you're waiting. You're killing off any idea that feels like it's not quite good enough. But the truth is, none of it matters because we're all just becoming content creators and consumers, and it's a bleak outlook for the world.
Oh, wow. That got dark real fast.
Speaking of bleak outlooks, John, let's do my segment as we end the show. This Week in History, we call it Talk About Then. This week, John, 2007.
Oh, what a year.
One of the most impactful inventions. Unveiled to the public at a convention in San Francisco. Do you want to take a guess? 2007? January 2007?
Well, it's too late for chia heads.
Yes, it's too late for chia heads, John.
An iPhone.
The iPhone. January of 2007, Steve Jobs unveils it at the Mac World convention. It would go on sale in June. So this is interesting. So people, they could really build the hype.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. So you built that hype of like, it's not even available yet. Which is a weird thing. I don't know if they even do that now.
Yeah, they do. They announce and then you wait months to get to
the newest thing?
Yeah.
I thought you could pre-order, though. Maybe they had pre-orders. They were still expecting. Do you want to guess what the retail cost of the iPhone 1 was in $2,007?
$2,007. I was going to call it $120.
No. Between $499 and $599.
Was it that expensive in the beginning?
Even in the beginning. It was a $600 phone. Isn't that crazy?
I remember us talking about it on staff.
What would that be now? That would be over, it'd be $1,200, $1,300.
I don't know.
Probably.
Well, that's what they cost now, some of them.
Yeah,
it's true. High memory. I remember being at the table, the staff talking about it and kind of dogging it. Like, why would I want my music on my phone?
Uh-huh.
I have this iPod.
Mm-hmm.
I have this phone. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a...
I want to carry... I have this answering machine. I have this typewriter.
I have this beeper. Like, what's the...
I have this compass.
That really was a genius thing, is that was something I would not have thought of as a need, and someone did.
Crazy. Have you ever seen that meme of all the things that an iPhone replaced? It's like a huge photo. It said everything in this photo is now in your pocket. It's a crazy amount of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like an answering machine, a calculator, but it goes to like, I mean, it's a huge amount of stuff. And you're just like, it's true. It's all in
it's
our
a dictionary.
It's all in our pocket now.
And we
could not be less happy.
It's your notepad.
We're so furious as a people, but we have no reason to be. John, born this week, 1949, American boxer, Olympic heavyweight gold medalist, and world heavyweight champion, George Foreman.
Okay.
But what is he known for?
The George Foreman grill.
A grill. And that, we talked about legacy last episode and how like, you don't get to really choose it, and sometimes you kind of look back and you go, oh, George Foreman is an interesting character because he was kind of a menacing character.
Right.
He was kind of a villain when he boxed in his early part of his career. When he came back as an older person, he was a champion of everybody because they wanted to see the old guy beat Evander Holyfield. He's in his 40s or whatever. You're like, we're for the old guy. And he's got these big stacks of hamburgers at his press conference weigh-in, you know, and he's just like eating hamburgers. It's so great. You know, he's this big doughy guy. But back in the day when he fought Ali, it wasn't that way, you know. He was a menacing guy. And so it's interesting, like, his character arc to this, like, entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he invented the grill or if he's just a spokesperson. I don't know the whole behind it. If he, like, they came to him and said, would you rep this?
And he obviously went in, I'd say, in partner level with it.
Yeah.
Because it became a part of his whole brand.
And I mean, how many millions? How many millions?
Way more than boxing, I guarantee you that.
Do you still have a George Foreman grill?
I think we have
it's in a cabinet or something.
We have whatever I don't think it was a name brand, but I think we have one of
the ones. The knockoff.
Yeah, the Forged Jorman.
The Forged Jorman grill.
Yeah.
He's sold a lot of them. But a heck of a boxer, like the punt. I mean, this guy, they said he was like a truck hitting you when he would hit you.
Wow.
And I've been told that about, no, I haven't been told that. Lastly, John, this week, 1776.
Oh, wow.
It's not what you think, though. This is January of 1776.
Oh, yeah.
Thomas Paine's pamphlet.
Common Sense,
urging independence for the colonies, is published. It was an immediate sensation, selling 120,000 copies in its first 3 months. Per population at the time, it is still the best-selling American title of all time. So per, you know, for the amount of people that were... a long habit, this is one of the quotes. I know I didn't realize this. I never heard this quote. A long habit of not thinking a thing wrong gives it a superficial appearance of being right. Time makes more converts than reason.
Wow.
That's like... so prescient. That's an amazing quote.
Yeah.
So just letting something go on gives it this credibility that's more powerful than even being right. It's just like, well, it's like they call it the tyranny of tradition.
Yeah.
So when you don't call out wrong ideas,
yeah,
like I've been trying to do on this show for years, and it just goes on. And then you get exhausted from it, and you're like, just let it go. And that's what happens. And now, next thing you know.
Yeah. Here we are at episode.
Well, that stops now. This is the common sense era.
This is the revolution.
That. Thank you.
Yeah, there's so much I want to say about all that, but I'm not going to because.
Oh, you don't want to get into the weeds of Thomas Paine?
I think it's great.
Oh, okay.
I just think that even just the year 1776 and what it was.
Right.
I mean, it's a hard.
Really, it was a big one for us.
Yeah.
If I recall correctly.
For the world, though.
Yeah.
And those Enlightenment ideas, and then the Enlightenment itself.
Yeah.
You know, we've kind of romanticized, which romanticism is a part of the Enlightenment, actually, but romanticized the Enlightenment in many ways since. But
yeah,
Thomas Paine's common sense, absolutely. I'm trying to think of an equivalent. Obviously, there's not an equivalent in the sales perspective per capita.
Well, it was a reactionary thing. So what about like the Federalist Papers or like something that was like incendiary for the time of like being a...
Yeah, I mean, Federalist Papers... Again, one, there are many, many essays, 85 or whatever essays written, and the debate raged on, right? Because you had the anti-federalists and the federalists, and it became the, you know, the Democratic Republicans and all this stuff. But it what you have is common sense, though, and you still, I guess, you had Tories and those who disagreed, but there was an American, once the war was won, and those ideas became very ingrained in the American, not just government, but almost consciousness, you know. And so there are thoughts in there that we don't even know that are part of what we believe. Like I said last episode, I'm reading a book on dispensationalism, and it's hard for me to know if the author is saying something is supposed to be right or wrong, because I was raised out of dispensationalist kind of theology. It's almost like, but I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so the things that are a part of you that
it was like in the studs.
So when he
in the bones of the house.
Yeah. And when he calls it out as something, I go, wait, is that is that not how things are? You know, because that's the only way that, I mean, I have no different theories now, but getting this very specific history of that. So I think common sense is one of those kinds of things too. And again, Thomas Jefferson took so many ideas from things like common sense. And I mean, he didn't just sit down one day and pen the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not how it happened. Like, there was multiple drafts, and again, Benjamin Franklin, you know, had edits to it. And, but a lot of the things are direct quotes from other people of the time. And so it's just, or augmented quotes of the time.
So nothing so uncommon, John, as common sense.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Don't you think?
I think we bring some common sense to this show.
I really hope so. If you'd like to check out more episodes of the show, John, where do they go?
I think they would go to talkaboutthatpodcast.com.
John, click on that upper right-hand link. That's how you support the show. We love our patrons. We appreciate your support. Go to the bottom right-hand. That's where you can send us a note, or you can just go to hello@talkaboutthatpodcast.com. But click that link, and then go leave a review, because that helps the powers that be find us.
You know, in 2023, we more than doubled in downloads.
That's amazing. So 12 downloads.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
And we're hoping to do that again in 24.
We're going to keep doubling.
Yeah.
You just keep doubling it.
Because that's just common sense, Johnny.
We've got listeners in Dublin.
Do we? I think we can see the continents. We do have international listeners, and we appreciate you.
You said we can see the continents? Oh, you just, I can see from here. Standing high atop Mount Juliet. John's we can see the continents.
Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, you should also check out Johnny W, JONNIEW.com.
Check out johndriver.com.
No, don't.
Why not?
Go to Johnny W.
It feels weird you hyping me and I don't get to hype you.
Well, when I have a book released soon.
I'm going to be your hype man. What?
What? You know, this. But the podcast is one of the main things that I do.
Yeah,
but
true.
You do this and
so much else.
Yeah. And truth is, all the money from the podcast I've been siphoning off for myself. I just haven't been telling you.
So I didn't know that.
It turns out it's actually super lucrative.
Talk about embezzlement. It's the next time.
Would it be embezzling? Wouldn't you have a real
a spinoff?
It would just be a bad friend.
For the amount that we're making, no.
No.
I don't think they... I think they'd be like, what?
Well, we're not pressing charges.
This isn't worth... That. Yeah. It's like a Judge Wapner type situation. It's like a Groupon.
Yeah. And he won in his court case and he was awarded...
$17.99.
He was awarded an Amazon gift card.
Yeah.
By the other party. But yeah, you should check out johnnyw.com. It doesn't bother me at all to promote
Thank
it. I
you.
Think it's great.
You know what? I appreciate your support as a friend. John, you're like family to me.
Oh, thank you.
Like in a good way.
Oh, well, that's
not
good.
Not in like the, you know.
You know, by the way.
What's that?
That New Year's Eve was the 25th anniversary of my first date with my wife.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And it was on, yeah, we went out on New Year's Eve. Hmm. And so, and mm-hmm. I knew you longer than that.
Right.
So I think I knew you a year and a half, maybe almost two. So you and I are going like 27 years now.
We've had a good run and it's, so we're winding it down.
Yeah. No, it's time.
Yeah.
I think it's your crazy viewpoints, honestly. And yeah. I mean, just a general sense that you've become a worse person.
Just your overall demeanor as a person.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well,
no, I appreciate fine. You. You're, no. you're a good friend, Johnny. Like
no,
family too.
Stop
Come
it.
On.
Quit it. Don't yeah. do this. I made a resolution that I would deflect comments and compliments in the new year.
Guys, thank you for the time you gave us today, man. Do check out all the websites we talked about. Check out the places that that Johnny's going to be especially. I want you to go watch him live. But thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. On
Talk About Man.
The content we feed our minds will eventually show up in our lives. If we feed our minds the lies and confusion of this world, our lives will begin to reflect worldliness. But if we feed our minds the truth of the gospel, our lives will start to reflect the heart and character of Jesus. I'm John Stonge, and each week I host the Dwell on These Things podcast, where we take a deep look at the Word of God and learn what it means to apply it to our lives. We don't skip difficult passages, and we don't gloss over the truth. If you're looking for a show that will put your mind in a better place and help you understand God's Word with more clarity, you can listen to the Dwell on These Things podcast at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.